We have another caller on the line. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
To everyone.
Yes, you have Peter on the line with you.
Yeah, good morning, Peter and Mr. Murray.
Good morning, my dear.
Mr. Murray, it's nice to hear your voice. All is well with you?
Well, he's not able to communicate with you immediately.
Anyhow.
I hope it's nice to hear mine too, Miss Undecided.
You good?
I'd be calling to talk to you all the time, but I don't hear you.
You good? You miserable. Look, every day you voting for the Prime Minister to call election. Not the Prime Minister call election. Just get your keeping noise. What you really want? Peter?
What noise are you keeping? I'm happy that you call it.
Uh-uh. You put a lot of different excuses. You like, okay. You fight to know.
Fight to know what?
You fight to know he treat you all. He see you above your all. The man using his head. The Prime Minister using his head. Every day you voting for the Prime Minister call election. No, he call it. You hear a lot of excuses, no.
What excuses you heard?
Excuses.
What did you hear? What excuses did you hear?
With the
CXC
that you hear that...
Isn't that a fact? Let me ask you something. Isn't it a fact that a number of examinations would be disrupted by
it? I don't think so. But the department would know what's going on. Now he would have called the election that day. Hello?
Been listening to you here.
Now he would have called the election that date. Anyhow, he called the election... Be satisfied and stop keeping a lot of noise and finding a lot of excuses about the Prime Minister. And Peter, stop being so confused.
Are you trying?
Yes, you and Mr. Bell, tell you all, want to walk back into the sea. Walk back into the sea for true. What y'all don't know what we all want?
Maybe you
should carry me to see a duck.
Yes, I will do it.
Oh,
y'all duck in the sea. Anyhow, I gone.
All right.
I have a good day.
You do too.
All right, Mr. Dissert, you have a good day too.
Down to brass
tacks.
Yes, hi.
I hope that you realize that reference to duck in the sea is a further reference to an allusion to Obey. Duck in the sea is to perform, is to cleanse you.
Oh.
Like a bus pass. Yeah, like the bus bath would do at four crossroads on moonlight night.
I would object to a bus bath, though.
You would object to what?
I would not object to a bus bath.
Why not? But what is it that you need to have cleansed?
But is it? If people feel like need cleansing, I need to
follow. Oh, in that context, yeah, fair enough.
All right, down to brass tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, there are two things I want to discuss with you this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Can the Prime Minister change the election date? That's one.
Can he change it?
Yeah.
I don't know that he got much latitude right now to change it.
That's a question I would like to ask if he can change it.
Can the Prime Minister, in these circumstances, change the election date? Say, listen, I said the 24th, but I made a mistake. I meant the 27th or the 28th. Peter?
No, I've never known of situations where it happened.
Yeah,
I know that he can recall Parliament, but I don't know of situations where it has been changed. I believe if he has, he could probably change it within that 90-day period to push it back further.
You know, the Constitution is silent on a number of things.
Yeah.
And what we depend upon more than anything else is, first of all, that a politician seeks to... create an environment where a majority of the people would support him or her.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you don't want to do anything that will be disruptive of that support. But the other way that it is dealt with is by the customs and practices that have caused us to claim that we have the Westminster system, which is that there are some things that are not written, but it is understood that this is the way that you would do things in the absence of having something written in the Constitution. So those are the factors that would influence whether a Prime Minister would want to come and tell a whole nation that on one day you're going to vote and then come back and say, oh, I made a mistake or I've changed my mind. Because the price that you pay for telling people that now would be, you know, they create a lot of stress around here.
Suppose you had an intervening event, like a natural disaster.
Yes.
And he was forced to push it down.
There would have to be justification for it.
He should have that right precisely to say, well, look, this date is not looking good for whatever reason that we go with a different date. I think that to me should be within the capacity of a prime minister.
Yes, for sure.
Mr. Ellis, sir.
Yes, sir.
I got a feeling that it's going to get changed.
Come on.
My feeling out there.
Man, you had a bush bath too.
I would like one. That be the guy you can catch on. My next question, my next thing.
I gotta watch you guys. Who ain't getting a bush bath?
There's five people that I see have a little electricity when I listen to this program. I want to know why the DLP operatives want the most time on this program. That Mr. Gupani, he had one to talk as long as they like.
You know,
and you check out all of the DLP operatives that come.
Why we don't stop?
First time.
Why don't you use the time that you have wisely?
Well, listen, I finished with. I see what I had to say right now. That go on.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tack. You're on the air.
Yes. Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. And how are you today?
I'm well, and you?
I'm
glad to hear you're fine.
Yes, want to welcome. I think that the strategy that has been employed by the Prime Minister is a poor one. Because I would have built the party up.
How?
Knowing that my chances are slim. All the party events.
Built the party up how?
Build up the enthusiasm, the little enthusiasm that is left in the party.
That you can
because
see.
You must remember, David, that the Prime Minister is trying to get a third term at a time when his policies have not done Barbadians well. In addition to that, the country is struggling. It has lost millions of dollars, millions upon millions of dollars in foreign exchange. And there is nationwide frustration among Barbadians concerning these and other things. What I would have done, I always thought that the strategy to prolong Parliament for a further 90 days was not a good thing. I felt that the party should have come off on a high, close Parliament, and announce the election day.
Before you go on, though, please walk with me. Come off on a high how?
Bring up, you see the event that they're having in... The event that they're having this weekend in Independence Square.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you need something like that to kick off the elections, whatever, do it. But don't give Barbadians and the Barbados Labour Party another 60 days to curse you left, right, and center up and downtown. And news coming in.
I am shocked. You know what amazes me, though?
Yeah.
I am absolutely amazed at the number of people who may be supportive of the Barbados Labour Party who have a problem with how ill-conceived the Prime Minister's approach has been. I don't believe it. I believe that people who are genuine BLP supporters would be happy for every mistake that you believe he's made. So why be so passionate about he made an error? Well, if he made an error, go and capitalize on the error.
Well, you must understand.
So why are you so passionate about getting it right?
No, maybe we're talking. Y'all were talking about a strategy this morning.
Mm.
So I came in to talk about the subject of the strategy. Not glad for the strategy.
Okay.
Because I believe that the Barbados Labour Party will win the next election.
Well,
the people of Barbados have made up their minds to change this government.
Let me ask you this question, and this is with people like Glenn Murray and Peter Wickham here with us. This idea that people have made up their minds. Hold on a minute now. Hold on. Is that entirely true? And can you hold fast to that? If that is the case, why is it that political parties get involved in things like gospel shows and try to appeal to the youth in special ways? Talk to us about why would you do that? If your minds are made up, why, for instance, would the Barbados Labour Party be involved in mounting the kind of exercise that we are likely to see over the next couple of weeks, the launching of the campaign, the, the events that take place, what role do they really play in changing people's minds? Or what role do they play in general? Let me get you, Peter, first of all on it.
Yeah, you know, David, it's interesting. I did an analysis, that was what I was engaging last week, of the impact of the campaign for both parties on the outcome of the Grenada election.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, the NNP's campaign, which was a successful one, had zero impact. And the reality is that the outcome that was projected before the election was better than the outcome after, even though they won all the seats, but in terms of popular support. So I have always been...
So you're saying that, what does that mean?
I'm saying it confirms the suspicion that I have had that in a lot of cases, these campaigns are not that effective. I think that in the case of Barbados, a lot of people have made up their mind already. And I think that the Barbados Labour Party and the DLP will spend a whole lot of money over the next 2 weeks trying to convince people to behave in a way that's different to what, you know, they have done. And I don't know that what's happening now in Barbados is unique.
But if you're talking about that, Peter, you can't... convince a lot of people by pointing to one scenario only, the Grenada experience.
Right, but this is the one I've studied. And I mean, if I look at other elections where I've been able to study it by polling in a way that's proximate to the election, I could probably support that with similar data. So in many instances, people decide over 5 years what they're going to do. I don't know that the campaign helps to convince people. One of the things the campaign seems to do, as it's happened in Grenada, is that it probably convinced a lot of people that there was really no need for them to vote.
Yeah, Mr. Ellis?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I want to make this important point. Belgians vote by a very simple formula, and I've been observing elections for several years now, and the formula is this. When we get tired of the B's, we spelt them out and bring in the D's. And when we get tired of the D's like now, we spelt them out and bring in the B's. It's a simple formula that Belgians vote by.
They tend to vote against the incumbent rather than for the opposition.
Belgians are sick of the Democratic Labour Party for several reasons. We are sick of them. And it is in 2008, no matter what Oinasa did, Oinasa was in a way better position than the current Prime Minister in 2008. But Belgians were sick of the Barbados Labour Party. And Funders Trot cannot match Oinasa in any way. But in 2008, Barbadians said to Oinasa, we thank you. You ran the economy good in some people's opinion, but we're tired of you, and you're going. And in came Mr. Thompson. So this is the point in time again when there is massive frustration in Barbados. And Belgians are saying to the Democratic Labour Party, it is time to go. Thank you, Mr. Ellis.
Okay. The pollster is with us.
So. All right, David?
Yes.
David?
Yes, Glenmary.
And the question of, why have a campaign virtually between now and election day?
Yes.
From my experience and from those who have, from what I've studied of electoral marketing, et cetera, the idea is to keep the spirits, the enthusiasm, the camaraderie, the group feeling together as tight for as long as possible between when election is called and election day. So you have to do a number of things to generate momentum, to generate price. You look to peak. There's a talk of peaking at a particular point in the campaign when you would not, at your highest point, when they would lead you straight into victory. Right? If you peak too early, you will lose momentum. And
what constitutes peaking?
The peaking is usually time around the manifesto is supposed to generate that peak, that you launch your manifesto at a point where the contents are supposed to be, capture the minds and hearts of the person, and that will therefore further engender them to want to support you. So you always build them towards some kind of momentum. That's why the launching of the campaign is considered to be important, to set the tone, to set the standard, etc. Then it's the question of the introduction of the candidate. And then the presentation of the manifesto, and then there's the final light. But the presentation of the manifesto is meant to really help cement the whole situation. Hello?
Yeah, somebody's phone went off.
No, yeah.
Yes. So, Peter, anything to add to that?
No, I mean, what he's saying is right. That's what it's intended to do. But I think my analysis was directed at the point as well or not it has an impact. Which is an entirely different question, and I agree that that's what a campaign should be intended to do. But, you know, my feeling, this is a thing I've held for a long time, especially when we talk about a lot of paraphernalia or whatnot. Right. Convincing to see the objectives that is intended to see.
You're back in and out again because of the microphone issue.
Peter. I would agree with Peter on that. I tend to side with Peter with that. For example, I've never seen certainly based on my experience with the Barber Slayer Party, any advantage gained by having music events, music festivals, or music, a big music show. I saw it in 1997 in the by-election in St. Michael, Northwest. They lost. I saw it in 2008 at Watton Plain Field. I saw it at the beginning, not even the launch, the beginning of the last campaign in 2013, when they have this mammoth young people's event at Hager Hall, right? And I don't think music festivals, I don't think music events have any particular lasting and enduring value.
What does? Yes.
I think I don't think I have to convince. First of all, I think most young people go for the fair, and otherwise it is just a fair, a free occasion. But I think what has lasting is how you can. There's more psychology, more from my reading, from my studies, from etc. More people make up their minds at an emotional level about their party or a candidate than they do at a factual, rational level. So your manifesto, yes, but the manifesto is meant to generate, again, that psychological boost to make you like and think. But that people do not necessarily put down a balance sheet and rationally, logically, and systematically decide. It's a question of whether you like the person. You like the program, and therefore, if you like the person, you like the party, if you're more inclined to like the policies. That's how I've been made to understand it.
Down to brass tacks, we have with us on the line Peter Wickham and Glenn Murray. Hello?
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
To you, to Peter Wickham, and most importantly, to Mr. Glenn Murray. I held on so long, Mr. Murray, especially for you. I wanted to speak to you and to say how pleased I am to hear you. You're sounding strong and you're sounding, you know, back on your feet again, and I'm happy about that. I must say I missed you, Mr. Murray. I missed, especially at a time like this, you know, your balance that you brought. I missed your contribution on culture, your experience as a civil servant, as an ex-minister, advisor to a former prime minister. I thought there were a lot of things that, you know, information that we can get when you were on. And I understand it's nothing to do with the station. It had to do with private matters, illness, etc. So I want to say welcome back, Mr. Murray. May I just also suggest, I stayed on for an hour because I was told two callers before me and I held on, four came before. I'm not really, I don't know what's the system, but for me, because I have some appointments, I was everything is pushed back, but I just really wanted to speak to Mr. Murray. May I just also add that I am looking at this, what is taking place, the discussion before the announcement of the date for the election and after, and even today. And what are we discussing? For the most part, we are discussing why the Prime Minister stayed out so long, why he should have called it before, the impact or fallout of calling it now, etc. If, as the opposition states, the private sector, the people, the persons in the media and others, commentators and others have been saying, this country is in crisis because of economic problems and concerns and other things that are happening, I felt that our discussion should have been around the policies of the government and the alternative policies of the Barbados Labour Party.
What is there to stop you from setting that agenda? You have come now to further the very agenda that you're criticizing rather than putting yours on the table.
But you haven't heard what I'm going to say. So you're being a little premature here.
Perhaps I am.
Yeah. Anyway, I just want to say this morning that, and I looked again, I think when Glenn Murray was last on, maybe I might have raised it with him. A note from the Inter-Parliamentary Union, which states, which is the International Organization of Parliament, the opposition has a duty to offer voters credible alternative to the government in office, to make the government accountable, and they do this by demonstrating, they demonstrate this by having programs which will be ready to implement. the opposition must show itself to be responsible and must engage in constructive and responsible opposition by making counter-proposals. I would like to say this morning, I have not heard it before. I have heard Ms. Motley discussing the election date, and I agree with Mr. Murray. They have been very successful. They can get an A-plus from me in terms of public relations and how they strategize. The Dems will get a D in terms of communication. They don't come out and advance their ideas enough in the public forum. They don't come out and tell the voters and citizens what they have done, what they're experiencing, etc. They don't do it enough. But I am saying to voters this morning, don't be swayed by all this hype and, as Mr. Murray said, the hysteria around an election date. Prime ministers call it before the five-year term up. Persons can perhaps argue, well, we were expecting...
There you go again. The reality is that there you go again. You have decided that you want to curtail a discussion about timing. But rather than curtail that discussion, you have gone for a brief moment to call for the opposition to articulate their policies and stuff. But after that, you go right back to where you wanted to be, which is to keep that narrative going that you have criticized. What else are you putting on the table then?
Mr. Ellis, you know my main criticism is that we need to have solutions as the Inter-Parliamentary Union states, the opposition...
Well, I want to tell you something. Contrary to what you are saying... Contrary to what you are saying, I have heard a lot of discussion in Barbados about a number of the problems that have been facing this country. And ideas have been advanced by different opposition parties. I don't know what you're reading, and I don't know who you're listening to. But I don't buy into your narrative that nobody has been saying anything.
Solutions Barbados and United Progressive Party.
And the Barbados Labour Party as well.
Not in the same way.
What way?
I was disappointed. If you listen...
But you have always been... Listen, you have consistently been a critic of the Barbados Labour Party in the same way that I have people here who have been consistent critics and persistent critics of the Democratic Labour Party over the years. Over the last 5 years, you are well established and beyond as somebody who did not favour the Labour Party.
So that must be taken into
consideration when you come and make that kind of charge.
But you have said that to me over and
it is
over
true.
And over
and it
and
is true.
And over again. And you notice...
Because you haven't changed.
But Mr. Ellis, I don't even go there with you. If that is your view, a man convinced against his bill is of the same opinion still. So I have no intention of going there with you. I am saying to you, if we are saying these are critical times, our discussion must tell us how we are going to deal with the debt, whether we are going to go to the IMF, whether public servants will be laid off, how we are going to treat with university students being told they're going to be given, they're going to not have to pay their tuition fees. The public discussions, simple things as the transport board, simple things as the banking system, the insurance. I am saying there are issues that I want to hear us discuss.
May I ask you something? May I ask you this question? Don't you believe, I accept and agree with you, that Barbadians need to hear a discussion about the issues? But I don't believe that they must come from one party alone. I think that those issues are valid issues for all the political parties, including the current party in power as well. What have you heard from them about these issues going forward as well? I'm not saying that you are wrong to ask for these answers from the Barbados Labour Party, some of which I've heard them talk about, things like the corruption issues and stuff like that.
But that is not the same thing as IMF and debt.
The IMF and debt. But by the same token, I haven't heard that answer come from the government either.
Yes, Mr. Ellis, the finance minister said
that
they are not prepared at this stage to go to the to go to the IMF.
But I also heard the finance minister say that if people are clamoring to the IMF, well, then perhaps we will go there too.
You call hedging your bets, wouldn't it?
Okay.
You call hedging your bets.
All right.
Let's be honest.
And what would that mean?
But it means that at least we know they have no intention
at this stage
to the IMF.
At this stage.
If they get back in and they go to the IMF, they have to say to the public why they felt it was necessary.
All right. Let me get some other people involved in the discussion because I don't want it to be between the two of us alone. So let's get some others. So I've given you my view because you hit very hard when you're ready. So you sometimes need to get somebody to give you a little bit of a counter once in a while based upon what you're saying. Because critical point here is that I have B's and D's who call this program. It won't be just the B's who call. And in the same way that I, from time to time, people like Tall Boy, I remind them of the extent to which I hear them consistently take an anti-democratic Labour Party line. And if I do it for them, I have to do it for other people as well. Okay, so you're not being singled out in this regard, and you just made that point. Yes, Peter, have you heard the observations which have been made?
I did, yeah, I've heard it, and I've heard, I mean, I listen to the Trinidadian lady a lot on the radio, more so on the other place than this, but I've heard her say this, you know, hundreds of times. Look, we have a strategic issue, again, where the issues of the nature of which she's speaking have been discussed up front. I was part of the privatization platform. Glenn was associated with it as well. And it didn't seem to work out well. I appreciate that that has created a level of hesitance on the part of the Barbados Labour Party of frontally dealing with these things. But at the same time, I don't know that it's fair to say that we need to hear from the BLP in a way that we don't need to hear from the DLP. The DLP has sent out how many plans? None of them have worked.
But she feels that what she's heard from the finance minister and the IMF
is enough.
Is it enough for you?
What, from them? No, I mean, I feel if anything, it is for them not only to present me with an option, but also to present me with an analysis of how the previous plans have worked and succeeded or not succeeded. And why is it that we were told that the solution was there in 2013 and we are here in 2018 and appears not to be a solution? So that's the kind of conversation that I am interested in. But I also appreciate that like Glenn, I'm not going to convince the Trinidadian lady that my views are worthy. So, you know, I would just say why I have to say
that. Don't worry about how she sees your views. Yeah. What is more important is what she puts on the table as we move away from the other part of the discussion to focus on what is indeed a valid issue. What are the concerns of Barbadians as it relates to the economy? And to what extent have we heard from the major political parties and the new political parties anything that we can say? You can hold on to that. You can take that as a serious position. When a minister of government or a politician from either side tells you at this point in time, you know what that basically is saying. You're hedging, and many people don't hold on to that. What more do you want to hear, and how satisfied are you with what you've heard so far, Glenn Murray?
Well, so far, I think I've listened to the debate has gone on for months, and I prefer to describe the large amount, the most of it, as political conquerors. Attractive, tasty, flavorful, but with the nutritious value is absent.
Example.
For example, I think a lot of time has been wasted on issues that have not really advanced the program of either BLP or the DLP. I think, I'm saying that by now, from both the DLP and the BLP, we should have clear indications as to where they stand on the IMF or the debt and those sort of things. I don't think it's satisfactory for finance minister to say that they will go if they get a new, but they will have to get a new mandate from the public. That's the last word I heard him say. I feel that by now they should know, having been on the inside for all this 10 years, they should know what they have to do and have the courage to bring it to the public and tell the public this is what.
Isn't that politically sensitive, though?
Yes, but sure. But I remember in 1994, by the time the election day came, Barbians had a sense of what the BIP would do about certain things. Like, for example, employment. When Atta said that there was nothing. There's nothing to prevent Barbados from creating 30,000 new jobs, and that was a major issue whether it was possible. But he stuck his neck out on that. The party backed him up, and that was the party's position that we would deal with employment by do it by creating more jobs. All right, because remember, the employment when the DIP left in 94 was about 24, 25 or something.
Well, that is, you know, the difference between that and the IMF, in my judgment, is this. That is a promise of hope of a positive nature. On the other side, going to the IMF has the long-term positive implications, but the immediate effect of it is that you anticipate pain. And therefore, politically, it is unlikely that anybody is going to go. There is akin to when you were saying, when Mr. Arthur went and talked about the privatization at the discussion that I believe was chaired by Peter. When he spoke on that occasion, people interpreted privatization to mean that you're going to have to make some kind of sacrifice. If you talk about going to the IMF, even though many people believe it is necessary, whoever goes out there and talks about it now has to be careful that it will not be spun in a direction that says, you know what it means? Devaluation and job losses and stuff like that. That's the difference.
But David, some would argue that we've already gone through the kind of austerity that would have been imposed externally if we go to the IMF.
Some have said, even Mr. Arthur has said, that the austerity is worse than if we'd gone to the IMF. I've heard him say that.
But I don't recall that, but if he did...
he did.
Okay, but the point I want to make is that the IMF offers hope. The IMF offers your special drawing rights you can benefit from. Rather than going seeking loans which are not forthcoming, there are advantages that I think you can draw five.
But it's the politics of it. That's all we're discussing. I could talk about the... We understand the value, but it is the politics, the timing, you know...
But that's where leadership comes in. A leader's role is supposed to convince, cajole, argue with...
There are leaders and there are politicians, though.
To get people to follow them in a world which the best of it might be tough, but they can convince them about it's the best thing for them to do for the country.
So what I'm asserting to you and Peter is that this is sensitive territory for both the Democratic Labour Party and the Barbados Labour Party. And that we can expect that when the election is over, there will be some discussion of that nature. However, prior to that, it will be pulling teeth to get either one of them to come out there and tell you explicitly that, you know what, the state of Barbados is such that we have no choice but to go to the IMF after the elections.
That would be doing Barbados an injustice. Both parties would have done Barbados.
By not saying it in the election campaign?
Yes. I mean, if everybody understands that it's a virtual necessity.
But you can talk, the way you can deal with that is by talking to the people about the sacrifices that Barbadians have to make Barbados better, without necessarily saying that any sacrifices coming through an IMF program.
But people already know the difference. People already have access to IMF documents online and
want. I've had you guys on for a while. If you need to go, just let me know, because we have to go to the regional roundup.
Okay.
and then we'll come back, okay?
All right.
Thank you very much.